scripture came to me this week in a lot of different ways. As I was up at the hospital, many of you know on the hospital walls there are many different sayings and some scripture readings written, and Psalm 121 happens to be one of them, or a part of it happens to be one of those writings. And as I was reading another devotional, out popped Psalm 121, and it just seemed to be popping out at me, and I thought, it's time to stop for a moment and to read it and to really digest what God's saying here. You know, we as human beings live this journey that we call life, and we deal with the problems of everyday life. It just seems like they're getting insurmountable in some cases, like they're ramping up, which, you know, the Bible tells us things will get worse in the end before Jesus returns again. But it really gets hard and tiring and exhausting to deal with the problems of everyday life. You know, those problems that they just seem to be like enemies, don't they? They come at us, they never stop, and they're always bent on causing harm in our lives. More importantly, and worse yet, they're always trying to destroy our faith. And we cannot let them do that. Talking about those enemies that are physical, psychological, financial, spiritual things that we deal with every day in life, they just keep pounding us. We get to the point we say, I don't know which end is up anymore. We hear people say, I don't know if I'm coming or going. There's so much I'm dealing with right now. In our homes, our schools, our workplaces, our churches, everywhere we go, every day that we live, they're there. And we're all dealing with them. And we struggle with them. And we seek to find what the Bible says about all them and how to deal with them. And I think this scripture in Psalm 121 is one of those that we should sit and write out or type out on our computers and print out and put in our cars, put in our homes and our workplaces to remind us of the importance of always looking to God during our lives. Because we really need somebody to take care of these problems, don't they? They're just too much for us to deal with. We need a watchman. We need somebody to watch over us, to watch our backs. There's many times where we feel like, I just wish I had somebody that would take care of this for me. You see. In ancient times, when they would build a city, they'd build watchtowers. Sometimes at the corners of the cities, other parts of the wall. And the walls of Jerusalem, which are very wide, there are watchtowers, and they would place watchmen at these watchtowers to watch for enemy attacks on the city, or to watch for problems that might be coming towards the city, strangers that might be coming into the city. And what they would do is they would blow their horn if they would see any impending danger coming, and alert the people in the city to something happening, but even more so to alert the warriors, the men that were engaged in battle, to be prepared for a battle if the enemy was coming up against the city. They'd have watchmen there. In the same way, they would have shepherds to watch over the flocks and the herds. The shepherds sometimes would bring the sheep at nighttime into a sheepfold if there was one of those there. It would be a pen so high of wood or stone with an opening. The shepherds would sleep over that opening sometimes to protect the sheep in case anything would try and come in and get the sheep or take one of the sheep out. They would watch over the sheep, over the flocks and herds. The problem with these earthly watchmen and shepherds were they had limited power. You see, they were only limited by their own personal strength or by their numbers. And if someone would come at them that outnumbered them or was stronger than them, they would be able to defeat them. That was the concept in the ancient times in the Bible, where if an enemy would come up against God's people and defeat them, the concept was their God was bigger and stronger than Israel's God. Okay, that was the concept in those days. If we were defeated, then their God was bigger and better than our God. Well, we do have someone who watches over us, who if we'll just simply lift our eyes to Him, will be that watchman that we all desire, that all-powerful watchman is the Lord, the God of Israel. As I read this psalm, and I read it over and over again, and as my teacher in licensing school at Drew University taught me, Don't just read the scripture and say, yes, that's nice. And maybe read it and say, yeah, I understand what the psalmist is saying. She would always tell us, read it. Then read it again. Then read it again. Then read it again and read it again and read it again. And she said, kept reading it and reading it and reading it till you could almost memorize it. And she said, then read it again. As I started to do that, I started to really understand what the psalmist is saying here. We don't know who the writer is, although we can kind of surmise a little bit, because you find these themes throughout the Psalms. That's why the Psalms are so important for us today, no matter how old we are. The Psalms have a lot of power and a lot of deep theology in them for us today in our lives. The writer begins Psalm 121 by saying, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Symbolically, the writer is saying, I lift up my eyes to the hills, in a symbolic way, talking about looking heavenward. Where does my help come from? They ask, and they answer themselves, my help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Now, first of all, we see that the psalmist is talking about someone who comes to help them when they need help. The psalmist has made this helper personal. My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. In other words, the psalmist is saying, my helper, my own personal helper, is the Lord Almighty, the Lord All-Powerful, who created the heavens and the earth. So this helper that the psalmist is writing about is not only personal, but powerful. This helper is able to make something out of nothing. The one who created the heavens and the earth. In theology, we call this ex nihilo, something out of nothing. In the beginning, there was nothing, and God spoke, and it came into existence. There was chaos, and God took the chaos and brought it under control and made order out of it. But I don't know about you folks, but man, I need some order in my life. I need somebody who can take all the chaos and put it in an order so that I can understand things are under control. See, I need someone who can take a situation where there seems like there's no solution in existence, and out of nothing, bring a solution. Bring an answer to the prayers. You see. And that helper is the Lord, the Maker of the heaven and earth. I lift up my eyes. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. My personal helper is the one who created all this. He continues by saying, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Now, this Lord is Yahweh or Jehovah, the Maker of heaven and earth, the one who watches over Israel. And he says, this helper is my personal helper. He's my powerful helper, but also he's my protective helper. He'll not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He's the one who's going to provide constant care. Constant care. He'll neither slumber nor sleep. You know what the Hebrew words for slumber and sleep are? Drowsy and slack. He's saying that Lord, the Lord Yahweh, Jehovah, the God of Israel, doesn't get tired, and he never slacks off. He's not a slacker. We don't need a God as a slacker. I don't need somebody in my life solving my problems, helping me through them, that's a slacker. I want somebody who's on top of things, who's all-powerful, who's all-protective. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. This God of Israel, this one who brings help to the psalmist, who's personal, powerful, and protective, is persevering. He's going to protect him night and day. Night and day, he's going to protect him. And lastly, he's perpetual. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He'll watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. In Psalm chapter 9, and find a Psalm of David. And David writes, "The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He'll watch over your life. He'll watch over your coming and going perpetually, both now and forevermore." Now, here's where the meat of the psalm is. The Lord will watch over your life and watch over your coming and going. As I started to read that and study it and really explore what the psalmist was saying, the King James Version words it this way: "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore." But I had a struggle with that. It says he will preserve thee from evil. The NIV says he'll keep me from all harm. I got a lot of harm in my life. I got a lot of things going on that I'm dealing with. A lot of things that I'm struggling with. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. I don't know which end is up anymore. But the Bible says he'll watch over my life and keep me from all harm. What's going on, God? What's going on? So I started to dig in a little deeper. And I find the Hebrew word shamar, transliterated to guard or to watch, that the Lord shall preserve or watch over you, meaning he'll keep you, he'll observe you, he'll preserve you, he'll watch over you, and he'll regard your life. We're talking about a personal God here who cares enough about you to watch over your life. You see, to consider all that you're going through and to see all you're going through, a personal God who's all-powerful and can protect you from all harm. But as I started to understand this a little better and the true meaning of the word watch, I found that it means properly to hedge about as with thorns. To hedge about as with thorns in order to guard and to protect and to attend to. To hedge about with thorns. My dog will go like gangbusters after a rabbit until she hits those thorns. And she stops dead in those thorns and won't go in, and the rabbit's safe in the thorns. You see, the Lord hedges us in to protect us from the outside and watches over us. Doesn't mean we're still not going to get rained on. Doesn't mean it's still not going to be the dark of night sometimes, or we're going to be affected by the weather. It means he's on the case. He's got us in his watch. And as the translation means even better yet, it means to observe, preserve, and reserve. I almost titled my sermon that. That would be cheating to steal from some of these studies that I do. But the word to watch means to observe, preserve, and reserve. Doesn't mean we're going to be without any trouble. In fact, when Jesus prayed the night before he was crucified, he prayed, "Lord, not that you would take them out of this world, but that you would protect them in this world." Because we know the Bible says in this world we'll have troubles, we'll have evils. But Jesus said, "Take heart, I've overcome the world," trusting in him. Regarding the birth of Samuel, Hannah's son, in Hannah's song it says, "The foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness." In the desert, as God's people left Egypt in Exodus 13 and 14, God's people left Egypt after 400 years of captivity there as slaves. They went out into the desert, and right away they started having problems. What they do? They complain. "We were better off in our mess. We were better off in our problems back there in Egypt." Moses said, "What are you talking about? You're free." They said, "No, you led us out here to die. We were better off back there." But you see, they had the pillar of smoke and the pillar of fire going with them. The smoke would go before them to direct them the day, and at night the pillar of fire would go and protect them and give them direction. They could travel by night and by day. But the awesome part of the story is when God led them right up to the Red Sea, God led them there, and there they stood looking out over the ocean, the Red Sea, and said to Moses,
What's going on? You've led us down here to die. We were better off back there in our problems, with all our problems. And Moses said, behold the glory of God. And what happened? The pillar moved around behind them as the Egyptian army pursued them and caught up with them. The pillar protected them day and night as God opened up the Red Sea, delivered his people through to the other side. God's protecting Shekinah glory, we called it, was right there with them all that time. And when the people arrived on the other shore safely, God says, okay, and he stood aside and said to the Egyptians, go get them. And the Egyptians took off. Now, I'm paraphrasing the story. And the Egyptians took off across the Red Sea thinking, we got them now. We got them now, like the enemy thinks about us when we get into those situations. And God's making a way when it seems there is no way. And the enemy says, I got them now. I got them now. And God says, no, you don't. And the sea covered them up and destroyed Pharaoh's army, the enemy. We just got to wait for that to happen. Sometimes we get a little anxious and it seems like God's sleeping, like he's slacking. The Bible says he doesn't slumber or sleep. He watches over us. Day and night he watches over us. He's going to keep us from all harm. We say, oh, I got a lot going on in my life. We just have to be patient sometimes. And we know ultimately the bigger picture is we'll never be destroyed eternally, because he's going to watch over our coming and going both now and forevermore. Paul knew this to be true when he wrote Philippians. And he wrote to the Philippian believers, rejoice in the Lord always. I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Don't be anxious about anything. I've got to slow down here a little bit. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. It's pretty hard to thank God in the middle of your mess, isn't it? It's pretty hard to get on your knees and thank God when you're really in a pickle. You got a lot going on in your life. I'm going to thank God for my problems. Yeah, absolutely. Because look at where you are. You're on your knees. You're looking up to the hills. From where is your help coming from? Your help comes from the Lord, the God of Israel, who never sleeps nor slumbers, the God who's already on your case working. Although we can't see the solution yet, there will be a solution, because the Bible tells us that that's the story of salvation. That our personal God, the God of Israel, is with us always. So we shouldn't be anxious, but we should be thankful as we present our requests to God. I complain a lot to God. You know that? He gets tired of me complaining. He probably says when I pray, oh, here comes that whiner and that complainer again. But, you know, honoring God is taking our problems to God and saying, I can't handle this. This is too much for me to deal with. God, thank you, God, for my life. Thank you for my food, my family, my clothes, my home. We should always, we have so much to be thankful for, counting our blessings, naming them one by one. Because when we stop to see what God has done, they're there. The blessings are always more than our problems. And when we stop in our problems and start to focus, pick up our Bibles, read our devotions, something happens. Something happens. Because God is present in the situation. He's observing. And he's ready to preserve and reserve us. You see, we become transformed and we start to realize, wow, I'm not quite as bad off as so-and-so. I do have food on the table. Gee, my lights didn't go out this week, right? I've got a lot to be thankful for, God. Thank you, God. I still have requests. I still have questions. But thank you, God, for being my God and being there for me. And what happens? The peace of God, which transcends all of our understanding. We don't understand how he's going to do it, when he's going to do it, or where, but we understand he's going to do it. The peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Because as I said last week, the other week, we're his. We belong to him. We're his sheep. And he's going to protect us. He'll guard our coming and our going. If you don't know whether you're coming or going, it doesn't matter. What matters is you know that he's with you and he's guarding you and he's guiding you.
As I thought about this a little bit and looked at it a little more, I turned to Psalm 139. And I thought to myself, you know, David could very well have written Psalm 121. And I want you to consider this morning, Psalm 139, as kind of a basis, and then I'm going to finish up. This is a psalm of David. David had more problems than we could shake a stick at. People chasing him all over, trying to kill him. People were jealous of him. He had committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had lost a son. He had more problems than we could shake a stick at. Oh Lord, you've searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. There's a thought goes through your mind that God doesn't already know about. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. In fact, before words on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. God knows everything before it even happens. You know, he knows your problems before they even happen to us. Just waiting for you to come to him. He says, you hem me in, behind and before. You hem me in. Ladies, when you hem something, what does it do to the garment? Why do you hem something? Anybody? Huh? Okay. To make it shorter, what else?
So it doesn't unravel.
Yeah. Protects the garment. You hem me in, behind and before. Behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. I don't understand, God, why, how, when, where, or what. But I know I'm protected by you. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn and settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, well, surely the darkness is going to hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you and the night will shine like the day because darkness is as light to you. If there isn't anything that can hide us from God, you see. He knows all about us. Man, here's David, man after God's own heart, with a relationship with God, saying to God, you know everything about me. In fact, you know it before it happens. You're my protector. In fact, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. God, you know me better than I do. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. Abortionists. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Wow. Folks, I don't know if that's important to you, but that's pretty important to me. That we have a God like that. Now, in closing, I thought about this. I thought, wow, these are really good words of comfort. God's our personal God. He's our powerful God, our protective God. He's persevering night and day, and he's perpetual. He's always going to watch over me. Wow, that brings me a lot of comfort in my life to know that he's my protector and provider. But as I thought about that, I thought, this just isn't a psalm of comfort and assurance. It's a challenge to us. The psalmist says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. How about you? He'll not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will not slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord's your shade at your right hand. The sun's not going to harm you by day, nor the moon by night. He'll keep you from all harm. He'll watch over your life. He'll watch over your coming and going, both now and forever. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. How about you? You see what the psalmist is doing? He's challenging others. If you make the Lord your Lord and have faith in him, the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the Lord God of Israel, he'll not let you slip your foot slip either. My help comes from the Lord. If you trust in him with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways, what do? You acknowledge him. Acknowledge him in prayer, in practice, in confession, in crying out, in complaining. In every way, we acknowledge Him. What will He do? He'll make our paths straight. He'll guard our way. He'll observe, He'll preserve, and He'll reserve our lives. What an awesome, awesome psalm the psalmist writes. I'd love to know who it is who wrote it, because possibly it was David. But at any rate, we know when people say, well, the Bible isn't really relative for today. Wow. It couldn't be more relative to our lives today. It's our source of hope. It's our source of assurance. But even better yet, it's a challenge to our lives today to make the Lord our helper, the Lord, the God of Israel, who never sleeps nor slumbers, but hedges us in as if with thorns. He leads His sheep and He protects His sheep. Are His sheep going to get off track sometimes? Absolutely. Are they going to get stuck in the thickets? Absolutely. But He's not going to leave us. He's not going to abandon us. He's going to be our helper, come to our aid, because He never sleeps nor slumbers. He doesn't slack off. But He protects us now and forevermore. Let's pray. Our God.